Imagine being a child, saved from a terrible situation by someone you'd never seen before, only to find out years later that the person who saved you was a living saint. This is the story of Irene Gaeta and the mysterious ways Padre Pio guided her. Stay tuned.
Ave mundis pes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're a returning viewer or new to our channel, we're thrilled to have you here. Padre Pio, a Capuchin friar and miracle worker, continues to inspire and intercede today. Discover how his legacy can touch your life and your loved ones. Subscribe now and let's embark on this spiritual journey together. Now on to today's story. Today's fascinating story comes from the book Amazing Miracles of Padre Pio and the Stories Behind Them by Frank M. Riga. It revolves around Irene Gaeta, who experienced Padre Pio's fatherly care from a young age, years before she even met him in person or knew who he was. But let's start from the beginning. When Irene Gaeta was just 9 years old and living near Rome, she became deeply traumatized by an attempted molestation by a young man. What happened was that she had been lured to the home of an older girl she knew from before and was brought into a bedroom where a half-naked man was waiting. After she entered, someone locked the door behind her, leaving her trapped in the room. The young man threw her on the bed. She doesn't remember how, but she got away from under him, falling on the floor. Screaming for help, she managed to get through the locked door and escape. Overwhelmed by fear, she kept the event secret, afraid her father would come after them with a shotgun. However, months later, something incredible happened. On the night of June 18th, 1946, as Irene was preparing for bed, her room was suddenly filled with a radiant supernatural light. In this light stood a bearded priest in white and gold vestments who seemed to be celebrating Mass. He blessed Irene with the monstrous, and the look in his eyes stirred emotions she could not describe. He told her to pay close attention to everything she sees. Irene then saw the host turn into flesh and the wine into blood, which overflowed from the chalice. Placing the chalice back on the altar, he calmly told Irene not to be afraid. Following her grandmother's advice against diabolical deceptions, Irene asked him 3 times who he was. "I am Padre Pio of Pretlcina," he answered. But Irene had never heard of that place. She told him that she did not know who he was, to which he responded that he was a friar who prays, and one day she would come to know him. Then Padre Pio revealed that he had been the one to save her during that terrifying experience unlocking the bedroom door. "I know everything about you," he said. "Ever since you were born, the Eternal Father has entrusted you to my hands. I have saved you, and I will always save you." He came closer, no longer wearing the priestly vestments, but dressed as a Franciscan friar. Sitting beside her on the bed, he took her hands and said, "Look, my daughter, this is not a dream, this is reality. As proof, when she gets up in the morning, she is to tell her parents everything about this. Tell your father to remain calm, because all will be well." Her father had recently lost his job, and Padre Pio told her that in 3 days he would receive a letter offering work. "And so your parents believe what you are saying, tell your mother that I know she had a miscarriage." Still a child, Irene did not know what a miscarriage was, but her mother confirmed that this was indeed true, without explaining to her what it meant. Then, in 3 days, a letter arrived offering her father a job. Everything unfolded exactly as Padre Pio had predicted. Over the years, Padre Pio continued to help Irene in every aspect of her life. He would often visit her in bilocation and sometimes even in her dreams. Under his guidance, she learned to pray to the Eternal Father, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and to the Heavenly Mother. Occasionally, he asked her to pray for people in danger from the accidental explosions of mines and bombs. Irene also reached out to many, praying with them and inviting them to conversion and confession. Padre Pio would always inform her of what would happen to her and her family, whether the news was good or bad. Because his predictions were not always good news, the family called her the little bird of bad tidings. All this time, Irene still didn't know who Padre Pio truly was. Years later, in 1957, Irene finally recognized Padre Pio in a photograph on the front page of a newspaper. "This is the friar I always see," she exclaimed to her mother. To her amazement, he was alive, not a saint from the past as she had believed. The article said he was from San Giovanni Rotondo, though she only knew him as Padre Pio of Pretlucina. She wrote to him, and he replied. Finally, 2 years later, at the age of 23, she arrived at San Giovanni Rotondo. However, during this time, severe restrictions were placed on Padre Pio's ministry, making it extremely difficult to meet with him. Nonetheless, she entered a confessional, and though Padre Pio wasn't physically present, the priest's face suddenly changed into that of Padre Pio's. Irene made her confession, and Padre Pio shared many things with her, things she could never repeat. He then disappeared. Irene made many trips to San Giovanni Rotondo, sometimes even organizing group trips from Rome. Due to her deep love for God and all she experienced, she became a Franciscan tertiary. In 1961, during one of her visits to Padre Pio, she shared her desire to enter a convent. "In 3 months, I will tell you what you must do," he replied. When the time came, he told Irene that he wanted her to become acquainted with the high aristocracy, not to live like them, but to help her understand their inner emptiness. Soon after, she opened a high fashion boutique in Rome, where her clients included prominent figures from the aristocracy and the world of entertainment. Through this endeavor, she was able to lead many people back to the love of God and a life of grace. Irene eventually married, with Padre Pio's approval, of course, and even after his death, Padre Pio continued to guide her, asking her to establish an association of souls who lived the gospel as he did. With a rule written by the late Father Gerardo di Flumeri, the vice postulator of Padre Pio's canonization, the group was called the Disciples of Padre Pio. At first, Irene was scandalized when Father Gerardo suggested this name, feeling that disciples should only belong to Jesus. But he replied, "In Padre Pio, Jesus lived. The stones of San Giovanni Rotondo are bathed in the blood of Jesus. If it had not been Jesus in him, he wouldn't have lived more than 3 days for the blood he shed." And with that, we conclude today's story. Now, that was quite an impressive story. Thank you for staying until the end. It's a powerful reminder of Padre Pio's extraordinary ability to touch lives, providing protection, comfort, and most importantly, guiding us on the path to holiness. If you ever experienced a moment of divine intervention that changed your life, we'd love to hear about it. Please share your story in the comments section below or email us at info@followingpadrepio.org. Thank you so much for watching. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoyed this video, please like it and share it with your friends. Love our videos? Then click the bell to get notified as soon as we upload something new. Otherwise, you will miss out. Check out the specially recommended videos on the end screen or click the links in the description below for a full selection of great content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist and to enroll your Mass intentions for next Friday's Padre Pio Holy Mass. Thank you for being a part of our community and stay tuned for the next video on the life of Padre Pio.